All right, show gets rolling here as of right now. I want to continue this conversation about the Cavaliers and, like, when is it real? Like, at what point? I know they're 5-0, and you're looking at them like, oh, man, they're undefeated. No one else in the NBA. And they've got a couple good wins. You know, you beat New York, you beat Los Angeles, and you've got Orlando tonight at home. You've got Milwaukee twice, and then New Orleans, you're on the road next Wednesday. Golden State is here next Friday. Brooklyn is here next Saturday. Philly, Chicago, Charlotte, Boston, New Orleans again. I'm just looking at the schedule before Thanksgiving. So, Toronto. So, you know, at what point can you sink your teeth into this and go, yep, man, I'm in this, man. I think they're going all the way. Or I think that, oh, they're going to give Boston fits. I think when they get to the Boston game on November 19th, I think we're going to kind of have that circled.
Yeah, and then again, that's a circle game.
And that's a home game. It's also a home game December 1st. So that's the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a benchmark game we're going to have circled.
Yeah, so
for darn sure.
What are we, 28th this year is Thanksgiving. So 27, Atlanta, they play around Atlanta on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I want to be all in. I love this. Like, I'm looking at a team that has kind of, I don't want to say cured its ails, because, I mean, they were a good team that dealt with a ton of injury last year. The ball is moving. It's not sticking.
They're
different guys every night. I mean, no one's expecting perfection for the entire season, but I don't know. Through five games, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, if you want to sit here and go, oh, they can't win the championship, they're not going to get by Boston, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care right now. I want to watch this team play the way I think we've all expected them to play.
If you're doing that, you can go Eeyore in the corner. You can go Eeyore somewhere else.
Yeah,
I don't want
go somewhere else.
I don't want Droopy Dog. I don't want to deal with any of those things to continue our references of old cartoons.
Giannis is getting traded. It's not going to matter if they beat Milwaukee twice.
Sorry to worry about Giannis, sir.
It's your stapler. You find it?
Exactly.
Bill is in Parma. Hello,
how are you, Bill?
Hey, great, you guys. Dan, Andy, great program.
Thank you.
Happens ever so often.
You know, I've always thought in basketball, what I'm always looking for is, what is the outline? What is, and pretty much what you're saying, Andy, and that is you know, we're still trying to get over what it was last year, even though Bickerstaff had them playing good basketball, and we kind of understood, but I never thought that everybody was used to their, you know, maximum capability. I think right now what Atkinson is trying to do, now, bear with me here, I think he's trying to have Mobley be kind of a miniature junior Giannis and put him into that role. Because the idea of planting Mobley in the paint and have him bang in to get his points is not his body size.
No.
It's not his strength. And so having him in the open court, having him dribbling the ball, having him playing basically like Giannis, that's his outline for this young man. Now, everybody else is, we don't need a 40-point-a-game scorer. And we, you know, we don't. And I've always believed that if you have a guy scoring 50 points a game, it's dysfunctional and your team isn't running right.
I totally agree with that. Totally.
But I think what I like right now is, and you know, Desmond brought up an interesting point, and that is, you know, well, keep in mind, when Brunson came to New York Knicks from Dallas in the trade, Brunson at that time was not Brunson. And he changed it to a lot to the better. What I'm hoping is, as this team transforms, players will want to come here. Players will understand that this team, with Mobley being a force, with the two guards that we have, or at least with Mitchell, this team is going to be a competitive team going down the line, and we may be able to start loading up a little bit like Boston is doing, because Boston has guys there that you know, their lineup is pretty impressive. But I think we're going to start getting those guys because they'll want to play here, and I think they will do well here. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, we talk about. Yeah, I guess. I think about all the – I want to say it was wrong, because I do think money talks, and I think that money talks, and at the end, if you can pay a guy. But, you know, I think about how hard it was to get guys to want to play here with LeBron, right? And, like, LeBron was like, oh, I'd try to recruit as free agents to get here. But I mean, we did have some pretty good teams while he was here.
I'm going to make a really dumb statement here.
Sure.
You've paid Mobley. You paid Allen.
Yeah.
You paid Garland. You paid Mitchell. You paid Max Strus. You paid George Niang. You really don't have a whole lot of money to throw around to get other guys. Boston was in the perfect position to do what they did, which is they took a flyer on Kristaps Porzingis.
By the way, are we that done with this, with having to build big threes? And like, do you feel like we're past that in the NBA?
Well, we're on core fours now. We've evolved.
Oh, sorry.
Now it's okay. Core four.
Core four, okay.
Core four.
And who gets to build it? The players or the front office?
You're hearing that thrown out all over the place. Actually, it's been a while since we've heard about players trying to build their own team. They might be doing it now, just quieter. You know, before it was very loudly, we're building our own team. So, but here's the, let's lay this out.
I'm just trying to figure out if LeBron can hang around long enough for Bryce so that the three of them can play together. Well, he's only got, he's what? I think he's a junior. I think Bryce is a junior.
Who knows? I mean,
so,
that guy.
Senior, and then
who
he's
knows
gotta go
what
one
LeBron
year,
is doing at this point to keep himself.
3 years away. I don't know when his birthday is.
But. Cryogenic chamber. Yeah. Could
I think
Austin,
his birthday is like end of the year, too.
Could do the Austin Powers deep freeze for him. All those things to get LeBron so he can play with everybody.
I think he's a 26 grad.
So you've paid all those guys. So like Boston, they took a flyer on Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis was always like, he was the original unicorn and all of that kind of stuff. But the guy was perpetually hurt. And then if he wasn't hurt, he was grumpy. And like, he wanted to be the number one scorer in Dallas, and they were supposed to work with him and Luka, and it just was so clunky with the two of them. And so he found his way to Boston, where he's the third option, fourth option. Derek White was a trade acquisition that they made with San Antonio, and Drew Holiday was just this perfect storm of Milwaukee doing the panic trade for Dame Lillard, and then Portland having him and going, this guy's not going to play here at any point, so make us your best offer. Like, that's how Boston ended up coming together, and they've got this year, and then that thing is going to blow up. And the only reason is because these new luxury tax ceilings and all that kind of stuff where you can't trade picks and do all that stuff is actually having an effect. So while we're sitting here and saying these things of, oh yeah, maybe you've built something that people want to come to, yeah, sure. But the guys that are young and emerging and are looking good are the ones that are driving this and are the ones that are properly compensated and the ones that are going anywhere unless the organization gets rid of them. So I wouldn't worry about external forces at this point. I'd instead look at the best part of this, which is that the four guys that you've locked in are the four guys that are driving this thing. Because everybody's looking for the new shiny toy that's going to come in here and fix everything. And I don't know if you're going to get that this year out of the Cavs. Unless you pull together an Isaac Okoro trade that somebody wants to move to maybe get another shooter in here.
Yeah.
But even that one, this team's in really good shape. Now, granted, everyone's healthy. We're five games in and it's merging together really well and everyone's healthy. Now, what does this look like in February? I don't know. Is somebody banged up by then? Who knows? I don't have a crystal ball. And if I did, I probably would have broken it by now. So, at least looking at this man, like, I feel good about this team. I feel really good about them. They're in a good place. They could do a lot of different things. They could score a lot of different ways. It's not a one-trick pony.
All right, just to update you on my other story there.
Yes, please.
So tell me, I mean, imagine where he's going to land. Because Bryce James is 6'6".
We're back in the cryogenic chamber?
Yeah, he's 6'6".
Okay.
180, according to Wikipedia. He's 6'6". He's only 17, but he's a June. He's a June of 07, so I think that makes him a senior, doesn't it? That would make him a senior at this point.
Sure.
Because if he's born after September, then he would have been. Although I don't know what the California guidelines are on that. But
I don't think they
would have redshirted him, we probably would have known that. So, high school redshirt, or they should call it a Texas redshirt when you hold a kid back so he could.
The Texas.
Although, I mean, it depends on how old you are. I see it more often than you think.
Why does Texas get all the credit? They already got a two-step. Why should they get a red shirt?
Well, because I think they were the first ones that were kind of like holding kids back in fifth and sixth grade because they could see where their growth chart was.
Got their own
and
barbecue.
They wanted to make sure.
Is that a dance move?
Is that insane, though, that we talk about things
no
like
this?
No
one else has their own dance move.
Is that insane that I actually contemplate some of those things?
It really is. You're playing 3D chess over there.
I am?
And I'm playing Hungry Hungry Hippos.
All right, I'm just making sure. It was on the afternoon show yesterday. Dave McMenamin from ESPN was on, and he was talking about the Cavs lineup. Check this out. He was a former Cavs beat guy when LeBron was here, and then obviously, you know.
Yeah, he's on the LeBron beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, it was on Afternoon Drive yesterday.
And that's not an insult.
How does that make you feel when he says they've got the second best lineup in the East, though?
It makes me start looking at the rest of the East and going, where do I feel about this? Like
Philly?
Philly, I mean, look, if everyone's healthy, if Paul George is healthy, but Paul George is 35. Like, he's not exactly young, and he's coming off that whole Clippers thing where I'm 99% sure they load managed everything except for Steve Ballmer dance moves. Like, everything else was load management. So, like, I don't know if he's actually hurt or if it was just load management. Joel Embiid's going to play 55 games, and the whole goal of Joel Embiid is to have him healthy by the playoffs that he can play well. Maxey is legit. I can't say anything about Maxey. The Heat, I'm not sleeping on the Heat, and especially you got really angry and fired up Jimmy Butler to the fact that he took picture day seriously for the first time in forever. Like, I'm not sleeping on the Heat. They've got a trade to make. I'm still not sleeping on Milwaukee yet. I know Chris Middleton is perpetually hurt. I know Dame Lillard is also 40. I'm still not sleeping on Milwaukee. Like, we'll see. I can't. This roster's in really good shape. I want to see it get a little deeper before I start saying things like that.
All right. Cavs, Magic, tonight. They try to stretch it out to 6-0. Orlando's 3-2. They'll be here 7 o'clock tip. That game is on ESPN tonight as well. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, Rays color analyst. We'll break down the World Series. We'll talk a little bit about the Guardians with him. But more importantly, we need to talk about what is up with Nebraska football, because that is his bread and butter. And, of course, he's a gigantic Browns fan, too. So we'll get into that with him as well. In fact, at one point, hosted a Brown show while he was here in town.